This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
5 minutes after 12 is the time. I'm going to top and tail this hour with a quick nod back to the last hour. If you do, or you know people who are susceptible to the anti-woke claptrap that's so popular at the moment, that was a lovely hour to demonstrate it's nothing to be frightened about or angry about as we try to make the world a better place, and we talk to people with very different experiences and try to recognise that those experiences are as valuable and as important as the more common experiences that, most of us have had. So thank you to all of the callers, culminating in the magnificent Samaila at the end for making that such a fascinating hour of radio. And we will end Mystery Hour a little early this week as well, because I want Theo Ushworth to join us in order to tell us what is and perhaps what is not in the announcement that Rishi Sunak is due to make in about 25-30 minutes time with regard to the U-turn on the windfall tax and possibly on the grant that was a loan, but will now hopefully be a grant again. 6 minutes after 12 is the time. Mystery Hour is upon us. Do you need a quick heads up on what it is? I may as well. Yeah, people ring in with a question and then people ring in with an answer. And if they get the correct answer, they get a round of applause. And if their qualifications for providing that correct answer are incredibly apposite, they get a Railiota, which is the highest accolade you can receive on British radio. It means that if there's a question about toasters and you invented the toaster, then you will get a Railiota. That's it, really. It's pretty chocker at the minute. So a little bit of quality control, no doubt. If you just judicious use of redial is my advice if you want to get through. And the best contribution of the week, or rather my favourite contribution of the week, which is entirely subjective, will receive a brand new edition of the Mystery Hour board game, which is available. If you're not lucky enough to win today, it's available from mysteryhour.co.uk. And also in shops, including John Lewis. It's brilliant. I don't plug it enough, do I? I only ever plug it on Thursdays. I should be plugging it every day. I get so much. You know what my ego's like, right? So if I'm at a book signing now, and I've got one coming up in Lewis and one coming up in Dorky, and then near the end of the year, I'm in Bewdley, which is the next town along from Kidderminster, so that's going to be a home fixture. If people come up to me at the book signings to talk to me about how much they love the board game, I get a bit sniffy. Because I didn't have much to do with the book. I said, you're at my book signing. Talk to me about how good the book is. Talk to me how good the board game is. But obviously I love the fact that people love the board game. And as I say, you can get your own copy at mysteryhour.co.uk or by submitting the best question of the day. Best question or answer of the day. Oh, well, look at that. Isn't it a small world? I mentioned Kidderminster, and who should be first up on Mystery Hour but Greg in Kidderminster. Greg, question or answer?
I have a question.
Carry on.
I would like to know, it may have been asked before, and if so, I apologise. However, I would like to know why it is that if you leave the top off the biscuit tin and return to it a couple of days later, your crisp biscuits have gone soft.
Mm.
But if you play the same trick with a cupcake, for instance, it will have gone hard.
Yes.
So why is it that one goes soft and the other goes hard, equally annoying that they are?
And vice versa. I think we have had this before.
I imagine you won't well have. Can you remember the answer?
There is no. I can't, mate. That's age, isn't it? That's the way, that's the direction of traffic. I think it may even be one that features in the board game, which means that someone is now possible to ring in and offer up as their qualifications the fact that they've played the board game. What I'm doing now, Greg, I don't know how familiar you are with this feature on the programme. I'm now sort of waffling a bit in the hope that the answer will present itself to me, because it does sometimes happen that mid-waffle I'll suddenly remember. It's to do with being, you know, like you talk about pastry being short. Oh, no, I've got nothing. I shall find out for you, Greg. Whereabouts in Kiddie are you?
Wolverley.
Oh, are you? Very nice. Near the canal, near the lock.
Just the lock's the local. The arboretum is our next door neighbour.
Oh, you lucky man. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, splendid stuff. The lock's a nice pub, especially in summer, obviously.
It's wonderful.
Thank you, Greg. A little bit of homesickness there for me. Must phone Mum after the programme. 10 minutes after 12 is the time. Katie's in Twickenham. Katie, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Katie.
So, when you move house, how is it that cats know where the new house is? Like, they can find their ways home.
Yeah, but not, I mean, how do they know where the old house is? You might as well. How do they know where any house is?
Yeah, so the old house, I mean, the reason being, my mum lives on an island in the Bahamas and she had a friend that moved
out.
Whoa,
slow down a minute. What sort of a billionaire plutocrat are you?
Do you know what? I actually hate when that comes up in conversation because it makes us sound like we came from money, but it was actually from quite a tragic circumstance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But...
Fair enough.
No, it's all right.
All right. Well, at least you're used to it. I'm not, so
well,
I'm embarrassed.
Well, I am now.
All right, carry on.
It's all right. But yeah, her friend moved house and she had wild cats. And they were very much her cats, but they never came in the house. And they moved about a mile and a half down the island. And a few days after moving, the cats reappeared at the old house.
Oh.
And they would have had to have gone over the beach, over rocky terrain, like through bush. And I just have always wondered how these mystical creatures managed to find their way home.
Hang on, I'm confused. So, I mean, they go home because that's where they get fed.
Yeah, but if they're in the new house, which is a mile and a half away...
A mile and a half isn't that far for a cat.
But how would they know?
The same way they knew before. It doesn't matter that they've gone to a new house. Think about how far they'd gone away from the old house when they were on their travels, and then they still managed to go home.
See, I'm not convinced about that, because if you move, like, they always try and find their way home.
They don't. You keep them in the house for a month when you move house. You get a litter tray, and we've just been over this. You put them in the litter tray... Keep the litter tray in the house until they're used to it, and then when they go out, they'll come back again.
I'm not sure.
No?
I just don't understand how they've managed, how they knew where the old house was and how they managed to navigate.
But they didn't know where they are. That's the only house they've ever known.
But they've moved house, and they're in the new house.
Yeah, but they don't come home to the new house. They don't come home to the new house. Did your mum scoop them up and take them to your mum's friend scoop them up and take them to the new house?
Yes.
Right.
So it's not their new house
yet, is it?
Yeah, but still, how did they know how to get from that new location to the old location?
Well, how did they ever know how to get home? Ever?
Well, then that's another question altogether.
It's exactly the same question, Katie. How does a cat know how to get home? That's what you're asking.
Well, yeah, no, not really.
I think maybe I
just positioned the question very well.
No, I think you have.
I think
I think the question's built on a fundamental... misconception that there's a difference between imagine you'd never moved out. Oh, I've got it now. Here you go, sit down, Katie. I'm coming in. Here is the imagine that your mum's friend had never moved house,
right?
You got that, hold that in your head, right?
Yeah.
Now your mum's friend scoops up the cats, puts them in a box, drives a mile and a half away, pulls over in a lay-by, lets them out. Where are they going to go?
Well, they're going to try and get their way home, but how do they know?
What do you mean?
Maybe I just think cats are more magical than you
think. This is what this is about, is that you want some sort of mystical, magical answer to the question. An ideal, solely in fact on this programme, as you should know by now. All right, you're on the list. How do cats get... So what's a cat's navigation system?
Okay, that sounds less flowery than I thought, but yes.
All right.
On a very separate note, I couldn't leave without saying thank you so much for keeping us sane the last 5 years. Well, and also, I'd love to buy you a pint of Sierra Nevada one day when you're next to the Express Tavern.
I tell you what, you're on. Absolutely. Not only my favourite pint, one of my favourite pubs. I will take you up on that. Thank you. I always get a little bit embarrassed when people say lovely things like that. 14 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. A lot of you saying, remember to put a bit of butter on the cat's paws. I don't know if you've heard that. I don't know how it works, but it does work. It makes them less likely to go too far away. They come home quicker and they just get used to the new home. Matt's in Reading. Matt, question or answer?
Hello. Question, please.
Carry on.
Sorry, I was taken by surprise listening to the cats and buttering cats. I can imagine that's going to be quite tricky. Pinning them down.
Go on.
Sorry, this is I am phoning up about moles on your body, not mold under the ground. Brilliant timing. About 3 years ago, we were on holiday in Lyme Regis. We're going again next week. And my mum was sat there saying, how come you're more moly than your brothers?
Yes.
And I didn't know. And then I've noticed on my children, they are getting more moly as they get older.
Oh, dear.
So,
well, not oh, dear. I mean, you know, it's no biggie, is it?
It's no biggie.
But why?
Why do
some people have more moles than others?
And where do they come from?
It's melatonin. Yeah, it must be. It's the stuff that makes you go brown in the sunshine, isn't it? It's just in I imagine it's just deposited. I don't know why I'm trying to answer this question. I haven't got a clue.
Well, you might get there.
Moles. Where do moles come from? Moles. Where do moles come from on your skin? And the answer to that will probably entail the answer to the question of why do some of us have more than others.
And do they grow as you get older? And
well, you know they do.
Hidden under the skin.
You know that you get more as you get older, don't you?
I think so. Yeah, my kids are.
Yeah, but also you. Have you not got more than you had when you were young?
I must update the spreadsheet. It's been a while.
Let me know when you've done that. I've got to have to apologise now to Keith. Because when I was talking to Katie about cats and I said cat navigation system, he said something in my ear and he had that look on his face that generally conveys the belief that he said something truly hilarious. And I thought it was rubbish. I thought he said cat nap. So I said, what's a cat? And obviously, judging by the hundreds of people that have sent exactly the same joke into my inbox, what you actually said was cat nav. Cat nav, as in how do cats find their way home? Answer cat nav, which is a good joke and is funny and was worthy of your other pleased. But yeah, well, no, hang on, I don't know if it was that worthy because hundreds of other people made exactly the same joke, including Andrew in Barnsley, who's at the top of my list. That means now Steve in Bath has got it as well. I'm not going to be able to read out any text between now and the end of the programme because so many of them are going to contain the word cat nav. Elliot in Newcastle, that's just dropped in again. Catnaps, thousands of them. It's 12:16.
With EasyJet Holidays, it's easy to find the perfect package holiday. Perhaps you're looking for a week in the Spanish sun.
Getting warmer.
Somewhere with 5-star resorts.
Getting pretty hot.
With a view of the beach.
You're boiling.
And delicious food.
Found it.
Find your perfect package holiday in Spain. Book now. Search EasyJet Holidays. Atoll protected.
History Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 19 minutes after 12. If you want to see Rishi Sunak's statement live, you can do so on the Global Player app. You can watch it as well as listen to it. And if you would rather listen to it than listen to Mystery Hour, then our sister station LBC News, I'm sure, will be carrying it at the moment as well. God, I sounded like a proper grown-up radio presenter then, didn't I? 19 minutes after 12 is the time. Question's still in... Well, I'll run through it shortly in the meantime because Professor Hal is here and that suggests to me there's an answer on the way. Professor Hal in Brighton, question or answer?
Hello, James. Hello. This is one of my fantasy mystery hour questions. I've always hoped this is going to come up because there's lots and lots of narrative behind it.
Science.
Cakes and biscuits.
Science, cakes and biscuits, biscuits and cakes.
And it all comes down, as you rightly said, to the shortening. How fatty is it? Because fat and oil and water doesn't mix. Fats and water don't mix. So the more fat you have, the more likely you are to repel water and not attract it. So cakes dry out, they lose water, but they don't suck it in from the environmental moisture. Biscuits, on the other hand, have lots more sugar and lots less fat in them, and therefore they will absorb water from the air around them and become quite soft. And why this is important is Jaffa cakes. There was a big punch-up at a VAT tribunal in 1991, which I teach about to my students, because VAT is payable on chocolate-covered biscuits, but not chocolate-covered cakes. And VAT had been paid all this time. And so one of the tests that was done was, does a Jaffa cake dry out when it's left out, or does it not? And the answer is, of course, it does. In fact, they're quite nice if they're left out for more time. Jaffa cakes are indeed cakes, and there was a huge refund of VAT made on that basis.
Wow. Does that involve the passage of water through a semi-permeable membrane?
Oh, you mean osmosis?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
There's no semi-permeable membrane, it just sucks it through the air. But if you really want to, we can talk about colloids and stuff, so
next
we
time.
Can give you either way.
Next time. Another round of applause for Professor Hal. That was brilliant. How many people get that, do you think, Hal?
The osmosis thing. I think it's so ongoing, it's part of the
show. Yeah, but I've got 1.4 million listeners now. I had about 8 when we started doing that, and then we forgot about it for years, so I don't know how...
You should put a reminder out.
I'm not going to explain. I'm just going to create some mystique on the radio, mate.
Okay. Have a lovely, lovely day, James.
And you. Professor Hal there. Oh, I didn't ask him his qualifications. Shall I tell them or shall you?
I'm delighted. I'm paid to do my hobby, which is to be Professor of Public Understanding of Science at the University of Brighton.
There we go. Something else we've got in common. I am paid to do my hobby, which is shouting my mouth off about any subject under the sun for several hours a day. Miles is in Bredhurst. Miles, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Thank you for having me, James.
You're very welcome.
I've been waiting for years to ask this question and I haven't looked it up.
Go on.
What is the world's contingency plan if we're visited by aliens, like extraterrestrial life.
Would the world have a plan, or would it be region by region, country by country, or possibly, I don't know, council by council? So, I mean, are there any contingency plans is probably the way to ask the question, isn't it?
Well, that would have been two questions, and I wanted to know, are there any, and if so, what are they? So,
Okay, well, if you say, what are the contingency plans, then if there aren't any, that would be an answer to the question, wouldn't it?
That would be an answer.
So that works. So we stick with the original. So what are the contingency plans are in place in the event of an alien visit?
Yeah.
Wow. What would you say, yes or no, in terms of whether they exist or not?
I think they exist. It's too big of a universe not to...
Not aliens, mate. The contingency plans.
Oh, so I want to know what they are. What was the plan?
No, but do you think they exist? Not the aliens, the contingency plans, Miles.
Sorry, I do think they exist.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what they are.
Well, same. I know you've raised it. It'd be funny if it was really like low region by region and quite small, like parish councils had different contingency plans. You say, take me to your leader, and they take you to sort of Brian Blenkinsop, who's head of the local parish council, or they take you to the head of the local W. Take me to your leader. I don't know. I think that's quite amusing. Why do you keep saying moles that way? I think I'm missing an in-joke. You won't be the only one. I say moles in the way that the word holes is said on the Hunky Dory album by David Bowie, but I appreciate doing it with holes is esoteric enough without extending it to moles and expecting anybody else to understand what is going on. 24 minutes after 12 is the time.
Here's to Emma and her family weekend trip, which includes Bertie, their schnauzer. Emma couldn't have prepped any better. She filled up ahead of the bank holiday and beat the rush. That meant a quick fill and double nectar points. But first, fresh snacks. Now everyone's ready for the road. Even Bertie. Well done, Emma. You're the kind of driver that makes us proud. Esso, a planned journey is a smoother journey. Participating sites from the 26th of May to the 1st of June only. See esso.co.uk for terms and conditions.
Jake's in Croydon. Jake, question or answer?
I've got a question, please, Jake.
Carry on, Jake.
So, why do bubbles not pop on mirrors?
Pardon?
I know, I was just as perplexed.
Well, as in children's blowing bubbles and then they hit a mirror, they don't pop?
Yeah.
What
do
they do?
Last night, and they just bob off and then find somewhere else to go and pop themselves.
Is this true? Does anyone recognise?
Oh, dear.
What? Really? What, all of them? I mean...
Yeah, we did a fair test. We did a whole tube of them, and each bubble just bounced off and hit us or the couch.
And then it would pop if it hit you. Or is it? What about walls? Are they all right with walls? It might have something to do with the smoothness. Yeah. Might be the smoothness of the mirror, Jake. You know, because it's smoother than a wall, isn't it? A wall is going to be plastered and painted. It's going to have a texture on it. Whereas a mirror. Mm. What about windows? Did you try windows?
No, I didn't actually. It's a good question. But
yeah, it is, isn't it?
I think they might have seen themselves and got a bit scared and jumped away.
All right. I mean, working on the generous premise that what you're describing is scientifically sound, I will add to the question, why don't bubbles burst on mirrors?
Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you, Jake. We shall do our best to find out for you and yours. Jan's in Bratislava in Slovakia. Jan, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question.
Carry on.
How did clapping became the most important way of showing appreciation for a performance? I was at Dua Lipa's gig in Vienna on Monday.
Oh, yes.
And I was clapping, and I was thinking, like, why do we clap to show we appreciate?
No, I've ruined it for you now. Mystery Hour's ruined it. Your simple enjoyment of a Dua Lipa gig has been ruined by the thought of a funny thought entering your head and you thinking, oh, I must ask Mystery Hour. I must ring
you. That's right, yes.
I love it. I've got some good news and some bad news for you.
Go ahead.
The good news is I will put your question on the board, as you would expect, because it's a very good question. The bad news is that you are, I think, according to the terms and conditions at lbc.co.uk, I don't think you're eligible to win the Mystery Hour board game by dint of not being in the United Kingdom.
You can send it to a friend of mine. And
thank you, Jack. 26 minutes after 12. We have the cleverest contributors, don't we, on this programme. This is getting ridiculous. Paul is also in Kidderminster. I wonder, Paul, do you reckon one day I might be able to do a whole show consisting entirely of contributors from Kidderminster?
I think you probably could, actually.
And how good would that show be? I mean, my goodness, would, yeah. My goodness. Question or answer?
Question.
Carry on. Yes.
Okay, so you've got a frying pan. You put oil in the frying pan. If you left that frying pan, eventually it would spit and it would get hot and it would smoke.
Yeah.
But if you put a sausage in there and a piece of bacon, it doesn't set on fire. So how does the oil know that there's food in the pan?
If you left it... You mean if
you get an empty...
No, I know. I understand all the words that you used, Paul. I don't need any.
Yeah.
I don't need. I'm just a bit confused about the question. So you've got a pan of oil, and it's hot.
You've got a pan of oil.
And
yeah.
It will spit when you put a sausage in it. Still, it doesn't.
Oh, it will spit. It'll spit.
But you think that if it's got food in it, it won't actually catch fire.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. I don't know about ever, but like if you leave a pan on and you walk away for a couple of minutes, the kitchen's full of smoke and spitting, and you need a wet.
Oh, I see. So why? Well, isn't that just because the food lowers the temperature of the fat? You're putting in a sausage and a piece of bacon that's at the very least at room temperature, probably refrigerated, so it lowers the temperature of the fat for a while, quite a long while, long enough to cook it, because it's not going to be as fat as it was, hot as it was before, until the sausage is as hot as the fat when the cooking is completed. So if you left it for 20 minutes, it would be just as bad as if you'd never put the food in the first place, wouldn't it?
Maybe. I don't know how a sausage or a piece of bacon can lower the temperature of the fat unless it's got a lot of water content.
By being less hot than the fat.
Okay.
It's like you getting into the bath, Paul. The minute you get into the bath, the temperature of the bath starts falling because of your body absorbing some of the heat from the bath into your body.
I'll get me coach, James.
No, I don't know. Yeah. Listen, mate, it's quite often when I get on my high horse like this, I'm the one that ends up sounding stupid because the question is actually quite solid and I'm just too stupid to understand it. But I don't know that... I mean, a chip pan can catch... Let's pick a chip pan, yeah? A chip pan will catch fire whether it's got chips in it or not. It's just going to take longer to catch fire when it's got chips in it from a standing start.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not that it won't catch fire. All right, here you go. What's the relationship between food? Well, no. If you leave a pan and it's got a sausage in it, does that mean it will never catch fire? Is that the question? No.
Sort of.
Not really.
I just think if you left an empty pan, the room would full of smoke and it would start to catch fire eventually.
Yeah, but why would that happen less quickly if it had a sausage in it?
That's right. Pretty much it.
I like it. Whereabouts in Kiddie are you?
I'm in Wolverley too.
Do you know Greg?
I don't know Greg. No, but literally round the corner from him, I think.
It's unbelievable. I'm near the Arboretum. Mum goes to the little cafe in the old post office.
Oh yeah.
It's nice in there. I think they do nice soup and a sandwich or something like that, don't they? Or something like OAP special.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it is, I recommend.
I think they do actually, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's lovely.
By the Queen's Head pub, isn't it?
Yes, exactly that. Yes, exactly that. Just in the square. Hard to park, though.
It is.
But next time I'll come around yours. I'll find a spot in your drive. 12:30 is the time. Amelia Cox has the head. 33 minutes after 12, the U-turn is complete. We'll catch up with Theo Ushwood before the end of the programme today to go over further details. But I can tell you that 8 million low-income households are to get a one-off cost of living payment of £650 from July. It will come via the Department of Work and Pensions and is likely, according to Martin Lewis, to go to those on universal credit and legacy benefits. It will be automatic and be sent straight to bank accounts. Somewhat tragically, the first reply on Martin's account is, so if you work and your skin, you get nothing. And someone else has replied to that, as always. The number of people in work on universal credit should really have been drummed into people's heads when this government decided to reduce the weekly payment, I think, by £20. Was it £20 a month or £20? Either way, when this government decided to reduce or remove the emergency payment that it had made during the pandemic, because it even took me by surprise, and I do this for a living. So if you're skin and you're in work, you're on universal credit. That looks good. But at first glance, Theo, as I say, will bring some more details in a little later, but that looks to me like a good measure to address some of the epic problems that are growing. 6 million people who receive non-means-tested disability benefits will get a £150 non-means-tested benefit on top of the £650. And from autumn, 8 million pensioners who receive winter fuel payment will get an extra £300. In other words, when it starts getting colder. It's a one-off. I think we need to stress that. The calculation is that things will get better. If they don't, then we may well be back here again. So there it is. They voted against a windfall tax 9 days ago, and they have just introduced one today. Sunak's reason for saying they couldn't do it was because it would stop investment in the country by the big energy firms. So if you're lucky enough to bump into him later today, ask him what changed. 12:35 is the time. Lauren is in Ealing. Lauren, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
So with moles, the reason they come about is because your DNA in your skin gets mutated and it starts producing, like you said, the melanin.
I said melatonin, but it's melanin. You were right. I was wrong, I think.
Melatonin's for sleep.
Yes, I know. You were too polite to correct me. I was wrong. I said melatonin. I meant melanin. Carry on.
That's not because I'm polite. I forgot.
That's it.
That's the reason why you can get them more as you age, because when you age, your DNA naturally mutates anyway over time. That's part of the aging process. And the reason you can inherit them is because essentially, a bit like how you can inherit other skin conditions, you inherit some of those mutations that haven't quite become moles yet from your parents. And that's also why you get them more in the sun and get skin cancer, because the UV rays damage your DNA.
Wow. Qualifications?
So my qualifications is, firstly, I learned this in my biochemistry degree, but also I've got about 150 moles, so that's what I had to learn it. And I've got so many moles that I had a nickname referring to being a Dalmatian when I was in school.
Oh, wow, that is quite a lot. I mean, you've actually counted them, clearly. Because the fellow who asked the question, why did you have to count them?
I've got about 50 on my arm, and I have to monitor them every year. Wow. Skin cancer.
To make sure that none of them are turning...
turning dodgy. I've already had one out, and I'm only 29 now.
I'll tell you what, I mean, it's going to sound odd, this, but a question about moles answered by someone with 150 moles, I think that's Ray Liotta territory, don't you?
No,
I think it is. How common is...
Say yes.
Yeah, well, you are, obviously. You know. But can you give me... I mean, don't lie now, just to get the accolade, but how common is your condition, do you think, roughly? And also the biochemistry degree plus the 150 plus moles.
Yeah, I haven't met anyone with as many moles as me. Apart from, my dad doesn't even have that many, but he does have a lot.
I'm giving you a Ray Liotta.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
If you build it.
If you build it.
They will come.
Oh, look at that. Fantastic work. And that's partly to make up for the mean nickname that they gave you at school, because none of them have got a Ray Liotta, Lauren. Fantastic stuff, thank you. 12:37 is the time. Michael is in Maidenhead. Michael, question or answer?
If an astronomer, it's a question, yes. If an astronomer, and I promise it's not about human allergies or cowboys.
Carry on, go on.
If an astronomer looks at outer space and he sees planets and stars, he tells you that we're looking at them thousands and sometimes millions of years in the past because of the amount of time that light's come to reach the Earth.
Yes.
If you're able to travel in a spacecraft rocket at twice the speed of light, would you be going backwards or forwards in time?
Which direction are you going in?
Sorry, you're going to outer space.
You're heading into space at twice the speed of light.
Twice the speed of light.
But you wouldn't. Why would you be going back in time? Or for what?
Because of the amount of time that...
No, I understand that, but you're just going fast. You're not going the light. You're going faster than the light.
You're faster. You're traveling at twice the rate of the light.
I don't understand this question.
Coming from the planets.
Yeah.
If the speed of light is what dictates the age of the when you're looking at light.
It's when you can see it from Earth, but the faster you go, the nearer you become to the source of the light. You're not going to go... I don't understand why you think you might go back in time. These questions make my teeth hurt.
If you're travelling at twice the speed of light...
Yeah. All right. I'm going to just ask the question, but I want, for the record, I want everyone to know I don't understand it.
Okay.
So if you're travelling into space at twice the speed of light, would you be going backwards or forwards in time?
Correct.
Okay, you're on. What made you think of this question? Where did it come from?
I'm afraid I'm a bit of a Star Trek addict.
I did one of them popped up last night, actually, the one that's got both of them in it, Kirk and Picard. Is it Star Trek Generations? And he's just flicking through the telly, and you're never going to... You're always going to stop on something like that when you've got Kirk and Picard on the screen together. All right, I mean, I don't understand the question. I think it's very important, particularly when I'm so... what would the word be? Curt... on occasion with people who don't understand things that they have pungent opinions about. I don't know. I don't understand this question. Twice the speed of light. If you're travelling into space at twice the speed of light, would you go backwards or forwards in time? And I know that mathematically you can't travel at twice the speed of light. It's a theoretical question, I think.
Here's to Emma and her family weekend trip, which includes Bertie, their schnauzer. Emma couldn't have prepped any better. She filled up ahead of the bank holiday and beat the rush. That meant a quick fill and double nectar points. But first, fresh snacks. Now everyone's ready for the road. Even Bertie. Well done, Emma. You're the kind of driver that makes us proud. Esso, a planned journey is a smoother journey. Participating sites from the 26th of May to the 1st of June only. See esso.co.uk for terms and conditions.
Mark's in Cirencester. Mark, question or answer?
Hi, James. Yes. Love the show.
Thank you.
Given what's happening in Northern Ireland with the stalemate in the Parliament,
yeah,
where nothing's happening, the DUP and Sinn Féin won't move the country together.
Yeah, go on.
If that happened in Westminster, would it make any significant difference?
It's a terrible phone line. Give your phone a wobble or something. Just go and smack it on the back of a sofa or something like that, or go back to standing where you were standing when you rang in.
James, I'm in the Cotswolds. It's always terrible.
No, I appreciate it. So if I mean, it needs to be... No, I don't think it applies to Westminster because there's no power sharing in Westminster.
Okay. So
if you refuse to sit in the House of Commons, that's just tough. Your opponents will win all the votes.
Yeah, it seemed like that. I was just wondering whether there was some ancient law that meant...
I don't think so, because Sinn Féin don't take up their seats in London.
I know that, yeah.
So I think that it is. I think the power sharing thing is what means that they can't. The Stormont can't sit if the DUP are refusing to join in. I don't think there would be any equivalent. Even if everybody refused to turn up, I suppose you'd have to have another general election or something like that. But I don't think there's a parallel here. I could be wrong. I'll leave it on the board. But I don't think you've got anything to worry about, Mark.
Thank you. I'll bow to your knowledge.
Well, I don't know if it counts as knowledge as a sort of slightly desperate calculation. But I can't conceive of circumstances in which that would happen. Alex is in Forfar in Scotland. Alex, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
In relation to the question about extraterrestrial contact.
Yes, what are the contingency plans?
There are certain plans and certain things that were put forward by a number of bodies, such as SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and I believe the Astronomical Union, about, first of all, the signal or contact or whatever would have to be verified, so they'd have to be extremely certain about that. This is an individual astronomer finding such a signal or hearing such a signal on the radio.
Yes.
And then after that, they are supposed to make the United Nations aware of this. However, there hasn't been anything adopted in a concrete sense. So there isn't an international treaty out there as such or any kind of binding international agreement that would have to be followed. So, yes and no, there are things in place, but there's nothing concrete that would have to be...
Makes sense to me. What about on a local level? Or what about on a more local level? Like, would there be a governmental paper on it if aliens land in Trafalgar Square? Is there a plan as to what we would do?
I don't believe so, James. Like I say, I mean, if it hasn't been considered on the international stage, I think it'd be unlikely that any state would have legislated. In fact, I can say almost quite categorically that I believe there's no domestic legislation, at least that I know of.
Well, why not, Alex?
Well, they've only just started producing domestic legislation as regards space programs. So I don't think this would be the sort of thing that they would have got round to doing ahead of that kind of thing.
Fair enough.
So that's my answer. Yes, there is, and at the same time, no, there isn't anything extremely concrete.
Qualifications?
I'm a lecturer in law, and I gave a lecture on space law a while ago, and I was asked this same question, so I was then compelled to look it up. and it came up on the radio today, and I thought that
there
that
you
would
go.
Be an area.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a lovely answer, although I sense that Miles will probably be quite disappointed with that. I think he was hoping that there would be more detail, and frankly, so was I. I mean, crikey, what happens? Oh, Lord, who are they going to send? It would come under immigration, would it? So they'd send Priti Patel to deal? Oh, could you imagine that? Well, on the plus side, they'd probably all go straight back to Mars. It's coming up to 12:45. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
6060973.
It is 12:48. We've done the biscuits. How do cats find their way home? And the answer is not cat now. We've done the aliens. Why do bubbles not pop on mirrors? When did clapping become a universally appreciated way of showing appreciation, even? Why does a sausage stop a pan full of fat from catching fire or burning? And if you were travelling at twice the speed of light into space, would you be going backwards or forwards in time? And I had a crack at the last one myself. Let's go to Justin, who's in Lingfield. Justin, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on, Justin.
And it's the faster you go, time slows down. And when you actually hit the speed of light,
yeah,
time ceases to exist as a concept.
So if you're going at twice the speed of light...
Wouldn't make any difference.
Can't do that.
Because in other words, time no longer exists at the point of speed of light. It's just that simple. And so, it's a real effect. And in other words, things like GPSs. So if you're at the top of a mountain and I'm at the bottom of a mountain, your clock will run slightly slower than mine because, of course, speed over distance, you'd have travelled further.
I love the way you say it, of course. So I didn't understand the question and I don't really understand the answer.
Your clock, the faster you go. If you think of yourself on a speedometer on the needle,
yeah,
the faster you go,
yeah,
the slower the clock runs to the point where the clock no longer ticks.
Right.
It's just that you've just got to think about it. It could be confusing if you think about it too much.
That's often the way with me. That's often the way.
It's just, the faster you go, the slower your clock, to the point, at the point of speed of light,
wow,
your clock stops.
Qualifications?
I blagged my way into being a technical author because I don't have any.
But what sort of stuff do you work on? What is your field of interest that allows you to answer this question?
Oh, it could be anything. So I could look at wood, I could look at IT, I could look at any subject, and then I write about it to make people understand it.
Oh, wow. And you've written about this?
No, astronomy just happens to be my hobby.
But that's your qualification then, isn't it?
Well, no.
Astronomy,
really.
Qualification, astronomer.
Well, yes, but it's...
How ironic.
I'm a fair-weather astronomer.
Round of applause for our fair weather.
That'll
do nicely. Great work. I think, as I say, I don't really understand the question or the answer. Sorry, round of applause for Justin, please. Matthew's in Shepparton. Matthew, question or answer?
Answer to the frying pan sausage question.
Oh, marvellous. Carry on.
Right, so if a frying pan with oil in it is smoking hot, then it's got to be very hot, like 200 degrees C plus.
Yeah.
As soon as you put a presumably colder room temperature sausage, bacon, piece of meat in there,
yeah,
that drags the temperature of the pan down.
Exactly.
And so it stops smoking.
Bingo.
Now, the sausage, bacon, what have you, is made of mostly water.
Correct.
As most foods are.
Yes.
And so thereafter, the heat energy that's being put into the pan by the cooker isn't going towards raising its temperature, it's going towards boiling off the water.
Right, you are.
And the boiling off water is what makes the spitting sound of frying. And so that basically, that mechanism prevents the temperature of the pan getting back up to the smoke point of the oil, which is why it doesn't smoke anymore while you're cooking your food.
But it will eventually. It will eventually.
Yeah, if you were to leave the sausage or bacon in there until it was a completely dried out, blackened mess, then there'd be no more water and the temperature would rise and it would start smoking again. But why would you do that? You'd have ruined a perfectly good sausage.
Qualifications?
A passion for and wealth of experience of frying sausages.
That's one of the best qualifications we've ever had.
Well, it's lovely, yeah.
No, fantastic work. Do you have a particular favourite sausage?
oh, well, you know, my next pack of sausages is going to be, I think, a bunch of Sainsbury's pork and apple. I love the way the apple, the sweetness of the apple balances
the saltiness of the cured pork. I think you're right. Well, I mean, pork and apple goes together like lamb and mint, doesn't it? Or James and Theo. It is 12:52. Eamon is in Rochdale. Eamon, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on, Eamon.
To do with the cats, how to get home.
Yeah, go on.
You're going to hate me for this, but they do actually have a cat nav.
Oh, no.
No, okay. Let me explain.
Go on.
They have a kind of homing system built in, like birds. Like a bird will fly off to the far reaches and come back.
You mean like a homing pigeon?
Yeah, they have a homing sense, and it works up to about 3 or 4 miles.
Really? So if you drove a cat 10 miles away, it probably would not be able to come home?
Yeah, probably get lost.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a weak... It's a weak brew for a round of applause, Eamon. They've got a how do cats get home? They've got a homing system.
They have. They have got...
Can we sound a bit more scientific about it or something?
Okay, my cat went missing
here we go.
In 2017.
Right.
So I did loads of Google food.
Yeah.
And I found a scientific report saying that cats do have a homing system, but the scientists aren't quite sure how it works. They think it's to do with...
Well, that's convenient, isn't it, Eamon? That's very convenient for you, Eamon, that the scientists don't know quite how it works.
But they reckon cats do have a system similar to birds.
But we know that because they get home. You don't need to be a scientist to say, how does a cat get home? Who asked the question about the cats? Where's it gone? It was Katie. Asked the question about cats. She said, how do cats get home? And if I said they had some sort of homing system, do you think I would have given myself a round of applause?
Probably not.
No.
But so I can only answer from what I remember.
Theo, I should have come into the studio. I'm going to let you decide.
Harsh.
Oh, here we go. Here he comes. It's Snowflake Usherwood in there. All right.
I am a first-time caller.
It's laying it on thick now. Give him a round of applause, then. Oh, dear.
Cheers.
I haven't chosen a competition winner. I'm thinking that I'm probably going to give it to... I haven't written... It's the only name I haven't written down. Who got the Ray Liotta for the moles question? Anyway, it was Lauren and Ealing for the board game. Obviously, if you were unlucky enough not to win, then you can get your own at mysteryhour.co.uk. Remember, my kids need shoes. A couple of quick texts. This one made me laugh. John Bauer says, if aliens land in the UK, James, in answer to the question about the contingency plans, they'll be sent to Rwanda. And somebody who was obviously even more confused by the speed of light question than I was says, does this mean my feet are older than my head? Thank you. Theo Ashwood is here. I'll just read you something from last week, Theo.
Go on.
This is Rishi Sunak, who I believe is still the Chancellor of the Exchequer. He said, lastly, to address the Honourable Lady's point on a windfall tax, of course that sounds superficially appealing, but we on the government benches deal with complex problems in a responsible way. The obvious impact of a windfall tax would be to deter investment. It's as simple as that.
So, Mystery Hour isn't finished, by the way, because I've got a question.
Go on.
When is a windfall tax not a windfall tax?
I know this. Are you ready? When it is an energy profit levy.
This is what the Chancellor had to say.
And so, like previous governments, including Conservative ones, we will introduce a temporary targeted energy profits levy. But we have built into the new levy a new investment allowance similar to the super deduction. That means companies will have a new and significant incentive to reinvest their profits.
So a couple of bits of detail. Firstly, it's a 25% levy on energy profits made by the big firms like BP and Shell. It's expected to raise... in the region of £5 billion. But as the Chancellor was just mentioning there, there's going to be an 80% deduction if those companies reinvest their profits, so they're not paying that money in tax, into new technologies like offshore wind, nuclear power. Because, of course, the argument from the Chancellor and from the Prime Minister has always been that we don't want to impose taxes that deter investment by companies like BP and Shell. And therefore, this is the argument from number 10 and number 11. That would mean that we wouldn't be able to be in a 10 years' time completely independent in terms of our energy infrastructure. So if there was another crisis like what we're experiencing in Ukraine, then we would still see the same price spikes that we've seen. So that's an important bit of detail from number 11's point of view.
Why didn't I get a round of applause for getting it correct? Thank you.
I think
And what? No, you asked the question.
Oh, I don't get around.
You asked the question. You said, when is a windfall tax not a windfall tax? And I said, when it's an energy profit levy. So I got the round of applause. What's the money? Give people the details of the cash, and then Sheila will be going over this like a proper grown up.
So they're going to be spending, they're going to be providing a £650 one-off cost of living payment to 8 million households. And you remember that loan that wasn't a loan of £200. They're actually extending that to £400, and you're not going to have to pay it back.
While it is impossible for the government to solve every problem, we can and will ease the burden as we help the entire country through the worst of this crisis. So we will provide more support with the rising cost of energy, and that support will be universal. Yeah. Earlier this year, we announced £9 billion to help with the cost of energy, including a council tax rebate of £150 for tens of millions of households. And we plan to provide all households with £200 off their energy bills from October, with the cost of that repaid over the following 5 years. Since then, the outlook for energy prices has changed. I've heard people's concerns over the impact of these repayments on future bills, so I've decided that those repayments will be cancelled.
Is he given a new name to that? Because when it was a loan, he called it a grant. So what can he call it now that it's actually a grant?
Calls it a grant still. Just still doesn't a grant. Change it. But what's interesting is he says the energy price out... The price outlook for energy has changed since March.
Yeah, right.
But of course, it hasn't changed since March.
Of course, it hasn't. Well, it certainly hasn't changed since last week when they couldn't have a windfall tax because that was not how we do things. It is as simple as that, he said in incredibly patronising tones to Rachel Reeves.
The only thing, I mean, we knew in back in March the energy price cap was at significant risk of going up to 3,000 or in the region of £3,000 a year in October. And that happened last week when Jonathan Brearley, the chief executive of Ofgem, announced it. Actually, it was earlier this week. So, the government is, of course, responding, and claims from Labour and the opposition parties is that this has been too slow.
Do you want to know something funny? Sheila's here, so I won't take up much longer. Do you want to know something funny, Sheila?
Especially after yesterday.
Where I'm going tonight?
Oh, my gosh, you're going to a party at number 10 Downing Street?
No, that'll be the day. I'm going to the massive ABBA party. How topical is that?
The one out in East London?
Yeah, the first night of Voyage.
Is that the
big
one
ABBA
that has or hasn't been investigated by the police?
The hologram. No, this one hasn't been investigated by... Well, it was, but then Sue Gray, and then they decided... Anyway, I'll tell you what it was like tomorrow.